Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Listen to those words are sung. Reading from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's pray that God will teach us from these words, that we will not be careless in them, when these perilous times are already here, and many things that are here described are taking place among us. When I think of perilous times and the perilous place of the mother's womb, how will we think of it in our opportunity and responsibility to vote? Will we vote for life? Will we vote against those who would murder the unborn? Will we vote for righteousness? Or will we go along showing only a reprobate mind, doing those things which are not convenient, bringing death and being worthy of death. And as Paul says, not only those that do them, but those that have pleasure in them. How many will have pleasure in electing murderers in office, wanting it? I've had people ask for money just for that one purpose, so they could elect those that would give a woman a right to murder. Awful. Perilous times bring perilous things, and especially for the most innocent in the nation, the most innocent in the world. Let's pray that we'll recognize it and be able to repent of it before it is worse. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son, the Savior of mankind, the Creator of the world with Thee, the Judge of all the earth, who will come again in the clouds of glory. Help us to know Him as He is named by Isaiah, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that we may know His message to Paul and through Paul to us, that Lord Jesus, is Thou art on the right hand of the Father, seated there, making intercession for the church, and also waiting till Thy enemies be made Thy footstool. We pray that those who are described here, which are enemies to Thee, enemies to the Father, enemies to the work of the Spirit, denying the power of the gospel, that they may be subdued and brought to repentance, that there might be an awakening in our nation and other nations as well, that there might be a return to the truth of Thy word and a continuing in it till we are set free. We ask, Father, for these spiritual blessings first, for the church to be a salt and a light again in the nation. We also ask for the temporal blessings needed for our government, for our homes, our schools, for those in sickness and injury. We pray for those homeless, the war-torn lands, those who have suffered in the ravages of flood and fire and wind and earthquake, those in older age, calamities, Father, that are there and troubles. We pray that we might, with the songwriter, take them to Thee in prayer and not suffer needless grief, because we do not take everything to Thee through Christ in prayer. Amen. As we look at these words again, Paul describes them as perilous times shall come. They are here. There's a peril. Some of it is lesser, some of it is greater. Some of it brings suffering, homelessness, others brings death. Awful ways of death. And when we think of this here, I think not only of what we read here, but also what we read in description, much the same setting from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. He speaks there of those that change the glory of God, the uncorruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. There's many teach that mankind has come from the animals, and that evolution has brought that about. The terrible lie, the wicked theory, when God says also in the same context that which may be known of God in creation is manifest, that God has showed it. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. It's there. And as we can read in one of the Psalms, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. So there's many ways in which God shows Himself. I think of the moon as I've been watching it these last nights, going from the first quarter, each night a little larger, a little larger, a little larger, and then we get the full moon. Every 29 days, that repeats itself. And as we come to the end of our summer, we have had seed time. We have had summer, and still are basically in it. But soon is the time of harvest, and then winter repeats itself every year, and has done so for these thousands of years since God created the world. So he gives witness of himself, but most of all, in his word, in his holy law, in the gospel. His holiness shown in the law, his love shown in the gospel, and then many other things as well. As we read further into this chapter, where Paul states to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's there for salvation, and it's there for obedience to do good works. Very plain. All scripture is by inspiration of God. The Holy Spirit telling Paul what to write here to Timothy. The Holy Spirit telling Peter and others, John, to write to the different churches and the epistles, having the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then all the books of the Old Testament, Moses writing the first ones, and Malachi writing the last one of the Old Testament, giving us what we need to know about God and from God of ourself as well. In it, we should know the power of God, particularly in the gospel. In the last verse we read, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When that power has manifested itself the most, in the most wonderful ways, the greatest. As I think of the Great Awakening, in the 1700s, beginning in about 1720, 1730s with Jonathan Edwards, 1740s with George Whitefield and others preaching, and the effect it had on sinners, people hated it. They enlarged on anything that happened, describing it foolishly, denying that it was the power of God, humbling sinners, bringing them to himself in repentance, bringing them to Christ. Think particularly of two sermons that Edwards preached. One was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, probably his most known sermon. Many people have heard about it, read it. But another one, even a better sermon, Safety, Fullness, Sweet Refreshment in Christ. That one preached from Isaiah chapter 32. A man shall be a hiding place, recovered from the storm. That's Christ. Yes, Christ. Again, the words of the song. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. As the song also says, oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Yes, we must listen to these words, but they should bring us to prayer. Prayer of confession, that this perilous time is upon us, that we are part of it, both in our outward sinfulness, waywardness, and also in our negligence. Both are there. Sometimes it's called sins of omission and sins of commission, omitting the things we should do, committing the things that we should not do. And when I think of what Paul wrote further in Romans chapter 1, the last part of that first chapter, we read in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That's where we are today. We do not like to retain God's holy word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. We do not want to keep God's holy law. Thou shalt not. from the beginning to the end, the Ten Commandments. Nor do we want to keep it in that summary. The first part of the law being covered by what the Lord Jesus says with the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And then he said the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Much of what is here in the perilous times is just the opposite of loving God. The opposite of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Paul begins describing those perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, not of God, not of others. Toward the end of his description here, he says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And if we look further in Romans 1, we see the word murder is included. That is the very worst of hatred of our neighbor, the farthest from loving our neighbors ourselves. Romans 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. All of that is there. And again, think of that word, murder. In the Ten Commandments, we have translated into our English language, thou shalt not kill. But a better translation would be, and those who know the Hebrew know that, thou shalt not murder. There's a difference. There can be killing and punishment. There can be killing in war, but murder is wrong. Murder is killing without any right purpose. Murder is killing out of hatred wrongly. Today, though murder is not listed here with the perilous times, sometimes we have things listed that come out of the heart that are part of what we are in a certain segment of society, a certain time period. Certain things are listed that are not listed always together with others. But in Romans 1, whether we think of it as a reprobate mind or whether we think of it as perilous times, both are much the same. Both are away from God, away from His ways, away from His word, away from His blessing as well. And when I think of murder, it is under these words here given by Paul and Timothy that men shall be lovers of their own selves to the extent that then there will be murder. There's much murder. Murder on the streets. Murder in different areas, our nation and others. Covetous. When Ahab was covetous, the end of it was that Naaman was murdered, especially by his wife Jezebel. All of that takes place together and comes out of the heart that is enmity against God, hates the light, and more than we think. Lovers of our own selves leads to murder. What is the most perilous place in our nation? As the children go back to school, they probably think, will it be safe? Will we be attacked? Will we have students killed in our school? They feel it's perilous. There's a peril there. It has been. Sometimes what we call quite large numbers have been killed. Sometimes one or two or three, and sometimes into the teens. Killed. Is that the worst place? Or on the street in certain cities, is that the worst place? Where dozens sometimes get killed on a weekend? Very terrible. But coming back to the question, where is the most perilous place? Where is the most danger in our country? It's a place that we wouldn't think it should be and should not be. It is in the mother's womb. Today, between 2,000 and 3,000 have had a perilous time. The doctors have reached in, the nurses, and pulled bodies apart. Sometimes in this way, sometimes in another way. A peril. Many of those children now are in the garbage. Some probably will have their bodies cut apart after they've been taken out of their mother's womb and sold. Perilous times, more in that than any other place in our nation and in many other nations as well. Thousands and thousands and thousands. Millions in the year. Yes, there are those who promise if they're elected, they'll give more freedom for that. They'll be sure it can be continued. I've had a request in the mail by senators wanting money so they can give money to other senators, help them to get an office, help them to get in power. So we'll have more of them that will allow the mothers to murder. They call it woman's right. We are living in perilous times when we call murder a right. Murdering the most innocent, the most helpless. You probably say, well, you mentioned that before. It's not stopping. We need to mention it like God said to Isaiah, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their sins. Some people are trying hard to keep it going. It is probably the biggest issue with the examination of one that's been appointed to be Supreme Court judge. He would simply say, I will never be against abortion. He probably would have been voted on by now and approved. And if he would say, I will be against it, he would have a very hard place in society to be chosen, to be allowed to be a judge. That's how wicked we are. That's how perilous our thinking is. Wicked, wicked, wicked. Wicked in those that are openly doing it. Wicked in the rest of us that are sleeping, doing so little about it. What about when God comes with judgment? Will we say then, as we sang, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we did not carry all to God in prayer, that we didn't pray for this as we could have and should have? Are we doing it? That is number one. Pray for awakening. Pray for God's Spirit to be given to the church. I have a book here called The Least of These, and he bases his thinking in the book on Christ's words, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it to me. And he pictures the least of those as the unborn. One of the things written on the cover is what everyone should know about abortion. And in it, he says, until the church changes, the government won't change. That's true. We have our eye on government so much, from the church to government. But we need to have the eye, as the publican did, on ourselves. God be merciful to me, a sinner. God, wake me up if I'm lost. God, lead me if I'm saved, to do the right thing, to recognize the terribleness of the perilous times, the terribleness of being lovers of our own selves. Yes, that's what it is. What allows this murder by the thousands every day, by the million a year? What if that was anything else? Anywhere else? There would be a cry. Our news media would be wide awake. They will be telling us what we ought to do, who we ought to elect, that we ought to have the guns taken away. And there are places for that. But those things are way out of balance, as if they are the greatest, when that which is the worst is hardly mentioned, except if someone endangers the right to abortion, the right to murder. Then people are awake, at least one part of society. Yes, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. That's what we are, boasting in our perilous times, boasting in our sin, proud in it. How terrible. It's bad enough to have our wickedness. Let me read it again as Paul describes it to the church at Rome. All unrighteousness, fornication. Fornication is one of the reasons why abortion is taking place. So much in the unwed. That is fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Both Paul writing the church at Rome and to Timothy, without natural affection. We're in a culture of hardness. We're in a culture of coldness, deadness. A culture that death and murder doesn't bother us. And it's everywhere. I've seen in the hospitals where they allow people to starve to death. In the rest homes, they allow people to starve to death. People that I know, that I've seen, that I've talked to, there. Friends, fellow pastors, family allows them to starve to death. Sometimes we say, well, they don't enjoy living anymore, but are we wiser than God, who says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment? Will we give heed to God's word when he gives it for doctrine, reproof, correction, and thankfully with it, instruction in righteousness? There is a way of righteousness that God has given, his Son. He can forgive us for all of our unrighteousness, and he can change us from being unrighteous to working righteousness, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we must again do and have in the church, and then pray that God will add to the church daily such as should be saved through Christ.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.